Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And if you're hearing this broadcast at the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. What's on your mind today? Something you'd like to talk about? Give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and we await your call. Again, that's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and as we get underway, Richard and I and all the ministry team here at Basic Gospel gather together to say happy birthday to Mr. Bob Christopher. Now, not only has he become a grandfather this year, but as of today, he's literally at the age to go with it. So, happy 60th, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. It is a great day. I want to say thank you to all the well-wishers on Facebook and the emails that I've gotten and some of the voice messages, and it's just been a great day of celebration. Super. So thank you very much. I certainly feel loved and appreciated by so many people.
Well, you should, because you are.
Well, I thank you for that. I really, really do. You know, the older I get, and the more the grace of God becomes, you know, more precious to me.
I can relate.
You just realize that you're absolutely nothing apart from the grace of God. I mean, you may define yourself or try to define yourself by your successes, but you're just deceiving yourself. If you look deep within, if you just understand who you are as a person, you realize you're nothing apart from Christ, and that you can really do nothing apart from Christ Jesus. That's why this passage in 1 Corinthians 15 is so personal to me. Paul is talking about his apostleship, and he's saying that he shouldn't even be named an apostle because he persecuted the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did some really heinous things in his life, yet God called him as an apostle to the Gentiles. And so in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed."
Yeah.
Paul, in his letter to Timothy, said, I'm the chief of sinners. He understood the reality of who he was apart from Christ Jesus. He knew that his self-righteousness meant nothing. It was as dung, as he said in Philippians chapter 3. And so he embraced the grace of God. He humbly accepted the grace of God. And he realized that the grace of God could get him to places that he never dreamed possible as far as his status with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father. We cannot climb a spiritual ladder.
Right.
If we're trying to climb a spiritual ladder, if we're trying to improve our status as far as God is concerned, none of us are even going to be able to get on the ladder. We're not even going to be able to get to rung number one.
Yeah.
We just don't have it in us. But the grace of God meets us where we are. It reaches down into this pit that we were in, and it lifts us up and not only puts us on level ground, it takes us to the very top of the ladder and calls us children of God. So we are what we are by the grace of God. So we either have a chance to define ourselves by our sins and mistakes, and there are many people who do that, and they're just always struggling and fighting a battle. They can look in the Word of God, and they can read all these wonderful passages about the love of God and what God wants to do in their lives, and yet they reject or they stay at a distance from all of that because they're still defining themselves by their sins,
right,
or their failures. There's others that say, I don't need any of this God stuff because look at who I am, and they're defining themselves by their successes. So you have two opposite reactions, condemnation and pride.
Mm-hmm.
Both are of the devil.
Yes.
So you want to look at yourself in reality. You want to see who you are exactly the way you're supposed to see who you are, and then rejoice that the grace of God has defined you based on the love of God, which is just unbelievable and calls you a child of God. So this passage is very, very special. For I am what I am because of the grace of God.
That's
good
basic
news.
Gospel.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have open lines right now. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, well, you're hearing the live broadcast. We have an open line for you right now. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk with us about, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, make no mistake about it. We love being here every day on the air and online, pointing you to the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And to say thank you when you make your October gift, we have an excellent resource for you. It's called The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. You can request your copy when you make your October gift to support Basic Gospel. Just visit the website, basicgospel.net, to see all the ways you can make your gift and help keep the good news coming. In Canada, of course, you can donate at basicgospel.net. Anyway, it's a great way, and we would love your partnership with us. Once again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we had this question from Jay in Canada. I have a question about Hebrews 9:23, he says. What are the heavenly things that are mentioned? Why was it required that they be purified by a better sacrifice, that is the blood of Christ? The earthly tabernacle was only a copy of the heavenly one. What had happened that something needed to be made right in heaven too?
Well, that's an interesting question. That's something, Richard, you and I have talked about and have asked ourselves. What exactly is he referring to? I know that we are, you know, heavenly bound. That's what God had in mind for us. And so he had to cleanse us.
Yeah.
And he had to cleanse us not with sacrifices of animals, the blood of bulls and goats. We could only be cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So there's that that had to be. And so I think it's just, you know, Jesus Christ actually entering into the heavenlies. I mean, when we talk about the temple and the Day of Atonement and what took place on the Day of Atonement, that was just a copy. Jesus had to go into the real place.
Mm-hmm.
He had to take his blood into the real place and lay it on the real mercy seat. And he himself was that mercy seat for you and me. So all of that was for our benefit, to reconcile us back to God. Richard, any thoughts?
Well, if you think about it, when God told Adam and Eve, the day you sin, you will die, and then he didn't kill them, in effect, God said, I'm going to hold on to all of this. Now, it didn't suddenly, you know, make heaven a terrible place, but God had been withholding judgment all those years. And at some point, that judgment was going to have to be executed. And Jesus comes back into heaven and says, Dad, I've been the receiver of that justice. And God says, yes, I'm completely satisfied. And so then everything is purified.
Right.
I mean, it's not in reality that heaven became sinful, but what was God going to do if he didn't end up killing all of humanity? So it's like God was absorbing all the sin, then poured all that sin onto Jesus, and now purification has taken place. I mean, God did all of this. Every aspect of it was his initiative, his success, and the blessing for the rest of us in humanity.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So it really is all about us, the cleansing of us, so that we could be made fit for you know, that heavenly dwelling place, to be in the very presence of God.
Yeah.
And so that's what he's talking about. Why did the high priest go into the Holy of Holies? Well, to take blood for the cleansing of the people. That's where this connection between heaven and earth is that, you know, through that shed blood, we could be connected. We could have entry into the very throne of grace. So it's all about the blood of Jesus doing for us what only the blood of Jesus could do.
Now, I was raised in a religious tradition that believed that my sins actually were transferred into heaven and that somehow that was going to have to be cleansed. But what that belief system did and does, and you may be in related belief systems, is it takes away hope. Because if Jesus wasn't sufficient, if there is still cleansing to take place, and it has to take place in heavens, then Jesus did nothing.
Right.
Jesus did everything.
He did
and
everything.
It's done.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's good news.
Yeah, that is good news. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, let's go to Texas and talk to Miss P. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Okay. I didn't know if my question I asked her was on the was going to be pre-recorded and announced, but yes, I'm a Christian, been a Christian for many years, but I made a lot of mistakes in my younger years, and I've just seemed like sometimes I get so depressed, I start thinking about all that because it seemed like it affected others, and so sometimes I have a hard time forgiving myself. I know God has, you know, through Jesus Christ. But I was just wondering if there are any particular scriptures I could just maybe read every day that you could think of or something that would help me. Because sometimes I feel like that I have went, you know, the wrong way. Not so to speak now. I know I'm saved, but like maybe I chose the wrong way in life that God, that wasn't God's perfect will for me.
Well, God's perfect will for you is to simply trust Jesus. You know, we think of God's will in terms of a plan, that God has this perfect plan, and it's a frustrating experience to try to discover what that is. It oftentimes is like finding a needle in a haystack. But God's perfect plan was revealed to us in Jesus. And so his will for you is to simply trust Jesus, to rest in his finished work, to say thank you for what Christ accomplished for you through his death and taking away your sins once and for all, and then to trust him. He's come to live inside of you. He was resurrected, raised from the dead to come and live inside of you. So you trust him, and as you trust him, that faith in Christ is manifested in love toward others. So it's real simple, and we need it to be that simple. But when we embrace the simplicity, we actually begin to see the profound impact that simplicity can have, not only in our lives, but in our relationships one with another, and just the impact God wants to make in this world through us. So he's just brought it down to Jesus. That's God's plan, and you trust him. Now, as far as your forgiveness, that's complete. You know, Jesus offered his blood to the Father, and the Father accepted that. And he says that was sufficient to take care of not only your sins, but the sins of the entire world. So you have to come to that point and say, if God the Father was satisfied with the work of Jesus, then I'm going to be satisfied with the work of Jesus. That's how you learn to forgive yourself, is simply resting in the finished work of Christ.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. I just, I guess I've had a problem with worry, and I need to, and I know worry is a sin. I need to have faith in all of what you said in God's word, which I do, but then I find myself reverting back, thinking about the past, and that's another thing. I'm just, instead of thinking about the past, I know I need to concentrate on his word, and so I know what to do, but sometimes making yourself do it, I guess you just have to
That's always the struggle. You know, we've worked with a lot of people one-on-one, and they come in and present their problems, and they already know what to do. The issue is they're not sure they want to do that. So that's the struggle, isn't it?
I know it. Yeah. I know it. And sometimes I find myself watching television instead of reading the word like I should, because I know it'll help me, it'll build me up. And it seemed like when I was younger, when I first got saved, and I know that may be for other people, it seemed like I was just more in the word, and I read the word now, and I go to church on Sundays and all of that. But it seems like since I've gotten older, I started thinking, am I in God's will the way I feel like I seem like I went another direction than what God wanted me to do. And like you say, His perfect will is for us to just really believe in Jesus Christ and
that is
our Savior.
That is the will of God. That is the will of God for you. And now that you've believed Him and Christ has come to live inside of you, you were always in God's perfect will.
Yes, sir. That was a struggle I've had about me being His perfect will, even wondering to the point, did I marry the right person? I've just had so much, and I know the devil has a lot to do with some of this, and you have really, I think I feel more at peace right now just talking to you. And
well, we're glad you listening
to your program.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for calling. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put you on hold. We have a little booklet called Forgiveness, the Door to Life. We're going to send that to you, and we're going to send some other resources as well that I think are going to be a big help. And this resource is available to all of our listeners.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
And
you hold on, Miss P, and we'll get your information and send it to you.
I was going to offer this to her and take all the credit myself, but you did it, so that was good. That's fine. Anyway, we have this wonderful
It's my birthday.
Yes, it is your birthday.
Come on,
that's
Bob.
Right.
Let's go. Okay.
Well, friends, it is a simple truth. Until you rest in the finished work of Christ, you will never be able to experience the abundance of His life in you. Resting in His work is huge, of course. And to help Basic Gospel listeners understand this vital truth, we're offering the free copy of this excellent little booklet called Forgiveness, the Door to Life, that we're sending to Ms. P. And for your copy, visit basicgospel.net. You'll see the request link first thing at the site, Forgiveness, the Door to Life. And again, request your free copy now at basicgospel.net. And by the way, keep listening to the end of the program today, because I've got a couple of things to share with you I think you might find interesting and engaging as well. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We have plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a question from Homer. I'm sorry, from Aaron, who writes to us from Homer City, Pennsylvania. Quick question as to the best approach to reach an unsaved person. First, hit people up with the Ten Commandments and let them self-incriminate, and then tell them that the wages of sin is death, and then offer them the remedy, Jesus. Or two, tell them how good Jesus is and trust that the goodness of God will lead them to repentance. Do we first have to share the law before we can share salvation?
Well, that's a good question. I think we just need to be all about Jesus, quite frankly. You know, when Paul was on that road to Damascus and that light came and stopped him dead in his tracks, he just encountered Jesus. And in that encounter, everything changed. I think when you present Jesus, somebody's going to see themselves for who they are, and they're going to understand that they need Jesus. So I think he's the message. Paul said time and time again, we preach Christ and Christ crucified. We're not here to be ministers of the law. The law condemns, but we're ministers of the new covenant. Why? Because this new covenant gives life. So I think we need to be all about Jesus, all about the grace of God, all about this new covenant that we live in today, this new covenant of life. I think as we talk about Jesus, as we lift up Jesus, we can trust the Holy Spirit to do His work in drawing people unto Jesus Christ Himself.
Yeah, it's our world today, the whole system of it, for those who are lost, who don't acknowledge Jesus, is one day after another, one moment after another of being told, you're not good enough, you don't measure up, you've got to be better than this. And it's done on an individual basis. There's no one there to help you. It's you and your failing, so do better. I mean, that's what it's all about. Yeah. So nobody needs to be convinced that they fall short. As we hear it, whether you go to bad churches or to bad secular places, you hear it all the time. Jesus is the answer. He's always the answer.
Right. We talk about Christianity in terms of being interested in the souls of men. Mm-hmm. And we put that out there in terms of salvation for the soul. Well, if that's true, and it is true, then we as believers should find out what's going on in the souls of men and women. So if you will have those conversations and actually show somebody that you care, that you're not just interested in getting a notch on your belt, you're not just interested in getting a person to pray a prayer, to walk an aisle, to do something like that, but that you're actually interested in who they are and what's really going on inside. When you show that kind of care and concern, when you ask about what's really going on in their souls, what's going to bubble up is this emptiness. They're going to start talking about this emptiness. I read an article, a friend, Todd Rosenthal, sent it to me, and it's a fantastic article about what's really going on in this world today. We're connected. We're the best technology we've ever known. It's all right there in the palm of our hands. Yet we're the loneliest group of people that have ever lived on planet Earth. And one of the quotes out of this article was this: we're literally dying of despair, of the failure to fill the hole millions of Americans fill in their lives. If you will have a conversation with somebody, what you're going to hear in the course of that conversation is that they feel that there's an emptiness inside, that there is something missing in their lives. When you get to that point, then you have a connection where you can connect the gospel to what their need is, what their real spiritual need is. Mm-hmm. So talk to people. Let them know you care. Try to have a conversation about what's going on in their souls, and then you will have touch points that you can bring the gospel to bear in their particular lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And friends, if you have a question, as Aaron did, well, you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net, and we'll be glad to have the guys address it for you. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net, or the 24-hour line, 844-322-2742. Well, quickly, a question from Madeline. She would like us to explain Romans 11:21 and 22. As believers in Christ, she asks, can we lose our salvation, or can our branches be broken off?
Well, that's a great question, and it is one that many people read and ask that question, can we lose our salvation? But it goes back to context. What is the context? Well, the context of Romans 9, 10, and 11 is Jew and Gentile. So he's talking about how this gospel message is both for the Jew and for the Gentile. So it went first to the Jew, and then it's gone out to the Gentile, and he's saying that in the wisdom of God, that it worked where there was a partial hardening of the heart as far as the Jewish people were concerned, so that this gospel could go out to the Gentiles. But he's saying in these particular verses, you Gentiles, don't get cocky about that, because you're saved by grace. You were grafted in. And if God so chose, he could just say, hey, I'm not going to send this gospel message out to the Gentiles anymore. I'm just going to make it a Jewish thing. Yeah. Well, he's not going to do that, but he's just warning about arrogance and pride that we can have. But it's all about Jew and Gentile. It's not about individuals and salvation. Yeah. We are secure in Christ.
Well, gosh, we're out of time already. Friends, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel. Tomorrow, something different, and then something special. Different in that we'll have a very special guest with us. He is Dr. Russell Moore, author of The Storm-Tossed Family, and that'll be a great conversation. And then special because Bob Christopher has set it up with Amazon.com beginning tomorrow, Tuesday the 16th, and for 1 week only, to reduce the cost of the Kindle and all e-versions of the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Are you ready? Reducing it to 99 cents. So everybody should own a copy. No excuses. The Kindle and e-versions of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, only 99 cents at Amazon.com. That starts tomorrow, and it'll be a great day here at Basic Gospel. In the meantime, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all our great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for that special edition, Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.